All right. Well, thank y'all for having me. I think Drew sent out in an email he sent out, you know, about that I grew up Jewish. I actually was born in a small town in Mississippi called Indianola, Mississippi. And in that small town, growing up Jewish, I mean, we were only one of five families, and I was probably related to four of them. So there wasn't many Jews. I was the only, me and my brother, I think, were the only, you know, Jewish people in the whole school that we went to. So, you know, it was interesting. One thing, the community, so, you know, growing up Jewish, I didn't know what a Christian was. So I just thought everybody was a Christian and everybody claimed to be a Christian. So it was us Jews and then the Christians. But there were, you know, there were differences between them. Like there were some that were, you know, very mean, and then there were some that were very loving. I mean, I had some that would tell me, you know, they'd say, my parents are saying, you're going to hell, Jew boy. And I'd be like, well, I'm going to save you a seat on the bus. So that was my standard comeback line, because they said it a lot. And then I had others that were very, you know, loving towards me, and I was more drawn to them. But in my mind, they were all Christian. They all went to church, you know. So I didn't really know. But as far as in my family, my mother was Jewish. My dad grew up in a Christian home. I thought he was a Christian, same thing, because he went to church occasionally. But my grandmother, my dad's mother, there was something completely different about her. I mean, she was so loving. It's funny, those you know, little devotionals over here, I would come in the morning and she would be reading that, and she would, you know, tell me about what she was reading, and she would share, you know, her faith with me. She wasn't afraid, even though my parents were, you know, totally against it and totally told her not to do it. She would still do it. So another thing about growing up Jewish is that in Judaism, it's very traditional, and you have these high holy days. And one of them, one of the biggest ones, is called Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, every year you fast for your sins. And that's the one time, I mean, you pray, you know, ask forgiveness all through the year, but this is the one day that you fast from, you know, sundown to, I mean, sun up to sundown, and you don't eat anything. You can only, you know, drink water, and some people don't even do that. You go to, you know, temple, and you pray all day for your forgiveness. Well, I would come out of that every year, and I just never felt forgiven. So, you know, it was just kind of an empty thing. But I went through, you know, the whole Jewish studies. I was never bar mitzvah, because in this small town, we didn't really have a good, you know, Hebrew teacher, so I didn't do that. But I did get confirmed, which is like graduating from Jewish studies at age 16. And I was still, you know, I was still pretty inquisitive about God, and wanted to know more even after, you know, I finished that. I had a couple of friends that were, you know, sharing their faith with me, that were, you know, the loving ones. And then my grandmother, you know, had continued as well. So probably, it was maybe age 16 or 17. It was after I was confirmed that I wanted to continue to know more. And my friends were telling me about Jesus, and so, well, you know, at least investigate. So I don't remember, somebody gave me a little Gideon's Bible. It was a little red Gideon's Bible. And I remember reading it in secret in my room. My parents would not have approved, so I was doing it in secret. And I was reading the New Testament and learning about Jesus. And I liked Jesus. I liked what he said. And you know, the things he taught made sense to me and really resonated. And then I began, also, I bought a TV. I had started a job and earned some money, and I bought a TV from Walmart. And so secretly in my room, I started listening to a pastor on TV. I think his name was Dr. Fred K. Price out of Los Angeles, and he was teaching the Bible. And so I began to learn more that way. So around right about 18, I was like, okay, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one, and he is, the final sacrifice, the final blood sacrifice for my sins. And so I made that decision, in my head. And so at that time, I went off to University of Georgia. And I had that in my head. I said, okay, I'm going to get involved with a campus ministry. So I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ and went to their meetings and things. And one of the leaders was assigned to me, and he helped me write my testimony. And he encouraged me, you need to tell people that you've become a believer. And I said, okay. So when I went home for the first time, I told my parents that I had become a Christian. And they did not take it very well. They were very angry at me. even my dad was screaming at me and very angry. And I said, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you'd be happy. And he was like, I'm not a Christian. I just walked down that aisle because my friends did. I don't really believe. And so they didn't speak to me for about a year. Pretty much, just cut me off from the family. It was tough, but God gave me an incredible amount of peace even, through that. So it wasn't until one of my brothers had told them, he said, look, if you don't bring Troy back in, you're not going to see your grandkids, And so they did. We started speaking again, and it was hard because they asked me not to talk about my faith, but I couldn't help but talk about my faith. There was a little bit of contention there, but one thing when I was at Georgia, even after that, and I would have told you I was a Christian, but God kind of tested me. He put a fork in the road and he said, are you going to follow me or are you going to follow the world? And I went the way of the world. I mean, I slowly pulled away from Campus Crusade for Christ and just started hanging out with friends, and the things they were doing, partying and stuff seemed more attractive, and so I kind of walked away from God for many years, and ended up having a lot of brokenness. I had a business, a failed business, that I lost everything. Had to pretty much start over. I had many failed relationships, and just things, were not going well. And I had come to a very broken point in my life. And it was at that time that God put a guy in my life that worked for me. His name was Gary Steele. And Gary it was something about him that was different, even more different than the loving Christians. We were talking, and he was telling me about him and his girlfriend. He told me that him and his girlfriend were waiting until marriage to have sex. And I was like, what? Never heard that before. He said, yeah. And I was like, gosh, this guy's different. I mean, he believes he's loving, but there's a conviction there that I've never seen before. And it wasn't that he was, a nerd or anything. I mean, this guy was very athletic, good-looking guy. so that got me kind of seeking again. And he gave me a book called More Than a Carpenter that goes through a lot of that stuff that, Drew talked about, that I started reading, and it really brought me back to seeking again and understanding that, okay, Jesus, you are, the Messiah. You are the one. And so God also, at that time, a friend of mine who invited me to go to church with her and her family. And I was like, I hadn't been going to church. And I said, well, I don't think so. I'll just meet y'all for lunch after. And she was like, no, you need to come with us to church. And I said, all right. So it was North Point Community Church. And I went, and Andy Stanley, who is pastor there, was giving a sermon on surrender. And he was talking about that, you know, that we can't do it. We, you know, we can't love others, but God can through us. You know, we can't even love him, but, you know, he can bring us to love him. And I got home from that, and God really put it on my heart, you know, to just go all in. And I got down on my knees that night, and I said, Lord, I've made a mess of my life, and I'm done, and you just have it. And I'll go wherever you want me to go and do whatever you want me to do. The answer is yes before you mask it. And when I did that, I mean, there was, it was a change. I felt, you know, just a burden lifted. I felt different than I ever had before. God began to reveal his word to me that I had never really understood before. Like, one of the things was, you know, growing up Jewish, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But then Jesus was saying, you know, the only way to the Father is through me. So I was like, I don't understand that. You know, how can that be? And then I was reading those words in Matthew, and he revealed it to me that he was God. And I mean, it totally made sense then how he could say it. You know, it's almost like if, you know, I was telling you the only way you can know Troy Burwell is to know me, and you're like, you're so arrogant, how can you say that? And it's like, no, it's, you know, that's what Jesus was saying. He was God. And so he revealed that to me, and he began to do a lot of, you know, miraculous things in my life. He began to take away desires that I had and change them to other desires, you know, for him. Those desires to party and different things like that, you know, just started fading away. Not immediately, but just started, he just started weaning me off those things. He started weaning me off, you know, non-Christian friends to, you know, to Christian friends. So, you know, he started doing all that, you know, over time. And one of the kind of, to bring this full circle a little bit, so after that experience, I got invited by Gary to go to this Bible study. It was called a Bible Study Fellowship, and there was one in Atlanta, and it was met at Peachtree Dunwoody Baptist, and it was about 500 men from all over Atlanta met together once a week. And so I went, and I had prayed that night, because I'd never been to a Bible study before either. So I prayed that night, and I said, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, you know, what you want me to do, just make me feel comfortable, just, you know, show me. And so I went, and you get divided up. After the big group, you get divided up into small groups. So I was in a small group about, you know, I don't know, it was maybe 20 guys, somewhere in there, 20 to 30. And we finished up, and we were talking, or maybe it was an introduction, but we were talking about where we were from, going around, and they asked me where I was from, and I said, well, I'm from a little small town in Mississippi, you know, never heard of it, it's called, and they were like, what is it? And I said, well, it's called Indianola, Mississippi. And Drew is in my group, and he goes, no way, I was born in Indianola. And I'm like, what? And there's not many kids, you know, born in, you know. So the better hospitals are, you know, 30 minutes on either side of it. It was a really, you know, small town. I was like, all right, Lord, that's meant to be. So Drew and I immediately became friends after that. Drew introduced me to my wife, Kathy. Drew and Laura introduced me to my wife, Kathy. And then it turns out, that Gary, the guy I was telling you about, and his girlfriend, which is now his wife, it turned out that Kathy led her to Christ at West Georgia, at Campus Outreach, you know, at West Georgia. So God was doing that work, you know, the whole time. And it's just been amazing, you know, to see what, you know, what he's done. So the biggest things that, you know, I can say is, you know, it's not just believing in your head, it's transitioning it to your heart. And that surrender was the best thing I could have done. And it's scary. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know if y'all have ever watched like poker, Texas Hold'em poker, you know, where you go all in, you know, that's scary. You know, you're betting everything. But that was well worth it. That was the best thing I could have ever done in my life was giving him my all, giving it all to him. So.